Our first scripture reading is Psalm 148. Psalm 148 is all about the entire creation, and it is the psalm that St. Francis of Assisi based his Canticle of the Sun on. It's also the psalm that the hymn All Creatures of Our God and King is based on. It starts with the Hebrew word that all of you know, hallelujah. The hallel means praise, and the Yah is short for Yahweh, for God. So hallelujah means praise God. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Psalm 148. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise God in the high elevations. Praise God, all God's angel messengers. Praise God, all God's company. Praise God, sun and moon. Praise God, all you shining stars. Praise God, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for God commanded, and they were created. God established them forever and ever. God fixed their borders, which cannot be invaded. Praise Yahweh from the earth, you huge sea creatures and all depths, fire and hail, snow and fog, stormy wind following his command, mountains and all hills, trees for fruit and trees for lumber, wild animals and all domesticated animals, quadrupeds and winged birds, sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, nobles and all governors of the earth, young men and young women alike, elders and youth together, let them praise Yahweh's name. For God's name alone is exalted. God's majesty is above earth and heaven. God has raised up a horn for God's people. Praise for God's steadfastly loving ones. For the people of Israel who are close to God. Hallelujah. This ends our reading of the psalm. So the psalm is about the whole cosmos praising Yahweh. And that includes what's up in the sky as well as the very sky itself. It includes animate and inanimate creatures, young and old, and every kind of powerful ruler, as well as ordinary people who are not powerful. The psalm invites and commands everyone to praise the name of God, Yahweh, the one who is and was and who will be. Our gospel reading comes from the night of the Last Supper. Jesus has demonstrated his love for the disciples by washing their feet and has told them that they have to wash one another's feet. And then Judas leaves the disciple to go to betray Jesus. Listen for the word of God as it's found in John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Cynthia, do you want to come use the mic over here?
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Humanity has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in God's self, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you a little while yet. You will look for me, and as I said to the Judeans, that where I am going, you cannot come. I say that now to you. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so that also you also should love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This ends the reading from the Gospel.
May the same Spirit who inspired these words interpret them to our understanding this morning. So at the scariest time, when Jesus is with the disciples and Judas has gone out to betray Jesus, Jesus decides to talk about glorification and honor and God and love. The betrayal, crucifixion, and burial aren't going to end the good news. Jesus reminds the disciples again to love one another, because this is a good time to talk about love just before he is betrayed. Jesus calls it a new commandment, not because loving is a new idea. The commandment is as old as the book of Leviticus. The new part is that Jesus is inviting the disciples into the relationship that Jesus has with God. The disciples enter into that relationship when they love one another. Later that night in the garden, Jesus will pray, "The glory that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one." So the power to love comes from entering into the relationship that Jesus has with God. Love is holy. Just yesterday, my friend Beth posted something on her Facebook page. She is not a churchgoer. I don't know that she would call herself a Christian, but she works for Justice in the World, and she has a very troublesome neighbor who doesn't hesitate to call the city or animal control every time he has a complaint about his neighbors or his neighbor's animals. Meanwhile, he lets his own pets roam the neighborhood freely and sees nothing wrong with that. So Beth was out mowing her yard, and her neighbor was glaring at her, as he does most often. And then he was also glaring at another neighbor who is mentally ill and does not keep care of her yard at all. The yard gets overgrown, and about four times a year, the city comes out and mows it, and then adds $200 to this neighbor's tax bill. It's been going on for years, and there's very little that anyone has done to try to change that. And so, as Beth was mowing, and she saw how bad her neighbor's alley looked, she took her lawnmower to the alley and started mowing down all of her neighbor's weeds. And so, this other neighbor glared at her and said, "You won't teach her anything if you mow her weeds for her." And she says, "I'm not trying to teach her. I'm trying to teach the rest of the neighbors." And so he went back into his house growling, and she ended her post by saying, "Love thy neighbor," and then she cursed, because that's what she does. It's not easy to interact with human beings sometimes. Human beings are just as much a part of creation as are the trees and the rocks and the animals. And yet, human beings, I think, are the most challenging. Sometimes spending time alone, breathing, practicing mindfulness, and centering can help. Sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it does. So this morning, I'm going to lead us all in a centering prayer. And I know those of you who are mystics are thinking, "Wow, this will be great." And those of you who have the head spirituality are going, "Oh, okay, I'll grit my teeth and I'll just get through it." Feel free to participate or not as you like. And if you would like to think about something else besides a centering prayer, just go right ahead. This is for those of us who find joy and peace in centering prayer. So if you don't find joy and peace, think about what does give you joy and peace. So breathe in the breath of God. Breathe out your cares and concerns. Breathe in the love of God. Breathe out your doubt and despairs. Breathe in the grace of God. Breathe out your fears and frustrations. Breathe in the breath of God. Breathe out your tensions and turmoil. Breathe in the love of God. Breathe out your haste and hurry. Breathe in the grace of God. Breathe out your waste and worry. Sit quietly before God, who gives life and love to all creation. Sit in adoration before the Son, who redeems us from all our sins. Sit in peace, filled with the breath of the Holy Spirit, who renews every fiber of our souls. Sit in awe before the glory of the one God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When we are outdoors in nature, it's easy to sit in awe of God. But when we are in civilization, in town, and we hear lawnmowers or backhoes or see somebody littering or listen to someone who has the bass turned up way too loud in their truck as they drive by, it's hard to sit in awe of God. So this Sunday, when we are celebrating Earth Day, I'm going to tell you two stories about how people and the environment clashed, but how the awe of God was finally found. During World War II, troops in the South Pacific had to contend with malaria, and so they made some aerosol sprays, bug spray, for soldiers to spray on themselves, and it was delivered in an aerosol can for the first time, and the coverage was really great, and it helped. Aerosol sprays worked for a lot of other things, and so manufacturers started using them for things like hairspray and antiperspirants. And then scientists found out that chlorofluorocarbons were depleting the ozone layer. And by 1980, some companies believed the scientists, and they stopped using chlorofluorocarbons, which were called CFCs, and others didn't. The DuPont Corporation questioned the science of the relationship between CFCs and the ozone layer for many years, until finally, in 1986, the DuPont Corporation urged a CFC ban. And in 1987, the Montreal Protocols were signed by countries around the world, and manufacturers found another way to propel spray out of spray cans. I don't remember very much from that time, but I remember my mother's friends always used a lot of hairspray. And so they weren't happy with the pump-action bottles that did not deliver a fine mist like the aerosols can did, but actual drops that you could see when they hardened on my mother's friend's hair. That's what I remember. And then in 1991, I worked with a pastor from New Zealand. He came to the United States for a year. And we were walking around the neighborhood, and because he was bald, he kept putting sunscreen on the top of his bald head. Not a lot of people were using sunscreen in those days, especially in my experience, not a lot of men. And it turned out he did because the hole in the ozone layer was by New Zealand. And people in New Zealand and Australia have very high rates of skin cancer because of that hole in the ozone layer. And he knew he was susceptible, and so anytime he went outside, anywhere, not just in New Zealand, he always made sure to put sunscreen on his head. He wore a hat a lot also. And that was the first time that I had seen the relationship between how the environment impacts people and how when we don't take care of the environment, sometimes it hurts people. So I remember that, and I was very glad for the CFC ban. And it turns out that by 2050, the ozone layer will have recovered enough to be like it was in 1950. So that's something that everyone worked on together, except for six countries still in the world who still do use CFCs, but it's only six. And then this other story you might have heard about if you watched the TV show Cosmos when it was on a few years ago. There was a nuclear scientist named Claire Patterson, whom everyone called Pat, and he worked on the Manhattan Project during World War II and wasn't very happy with it and wanted to do something a lot more life-giving and a lot less destructive. And he was given the task of figuring out how old the Earth was. And he did that with uranium. Because of uranium's half-life, it keeps losing electrons until finally it turns to lead. And by looking at the proportion of uranium to lead in meteorites, he was able to discover how old the Earth was. The problem was his readings for lead didn't make any sense. The concentration of lead was far too high, and it took him a long time to figure out what the problem was, and he realized that his lab was contaminated with lead, and so he worked hard to create a clean lab. It took him a long time, and he was finally able to figure out the Earth was 4.55 billion years old. But in the meantime, he found out where all that lead contamination was coming from, and it was in the air. It was in the air from leaded gasoline. And it took him a long time to convince people that that's what the problem was, the leaded gasoline. And the people who were funding all his research were the oil companies. So the first time he wrote a paper about the dangers of leaded gasoline and how it was contaminating the air and it was poisoning people, well, they dropped all his funding. So Pat and his colleagues had to get very creative with how they were going to continue to fund this research. One of the things he ended up doing was going to Antarctica and drilling down to find snow from 200 years ago to measure the lead levels in that snow to show that before the before leaded gasoline, lead levels were much lower. Eventually, people listened to him, and that's why we now have unleaded gasoline. And for those of you who are young, that story is why people sometimes referred to caffeinated coffee as leaded. It means that it's the heavy and good stuff, like the leaded gasoline that did great for cars. It helped cars run better, and it made the parts wear out later. So it was a good thing for the cars, but it was very bad for the air. And now we have Flint, Michigan, where lead crops up again. And the problem with lead is it impairs mental functions. It can cause high blood pressure. And it messes with your muscles and your nerves. Lead poisoning is not a good thing. So, and Pat also, once he got the Clean Air Act passed, then he started working on getting all the lead solder out of canned food. They used lead to make the cans with, and that meant that people were ingesting lead. So that has been stopped also, thanks to Pat. So Earth Day reminds us that our welfare depends on the Earth's welfare. And Psalm 148 reminds us that we are not all that matters in creation, because the earth and the sky and the universe matter too, because they too praise God. The list in Psalm 148 gets very specific. It's not just trees. It's the trees we use to get fruit from, as well as the trees that we get lumber from. And it's not just animals that move. It's also animals that fly, the birds that fly. And it's not just the sun and the moon and the heavens, but it is the water that is above that heaven, and then it is the heavens that's above that water. Everything Christian praises God in Psalm 48. And so if that's true, then we are obligated to care for it all. But there are trade-offs, like the trade-offs that got made to use CFCs to prevent malaria, or the trade-offs that were made to use lead to make cars cheaper, to make gas cheaper, to make manufacturing cans cheaper. We have to decide what we can live with and what we can't. Pat Patterson persevered despite the people who tried to shut him down. And sometimes we are called to persevere too. It isn't always possible for us to recycle everything that we have. It isn't always possible for us to eat organic food all the time, or use less electricity or less gasoline. We have to figure out what we need for hygiene, for jobs, for living. And so even when we can't be as environmentally responsible as we would like, we can still hold that longing in our hearts, that desire to want to do better for the earth. Because by holding that in our hearts, we will be ready for when we are presented with the opportunity to do just that. When we can make better choices, we will grab them, because for so long we have longed to do better. We want to do better so that we can join with creation, with all of creation, to praise God all the time. Amen.